With great power comes great responsibility.
Compromise where you can. Where you can't, don't. Even if everyone is telling you that something wrong is something right, even if the whole world is telling you to move, it is your duty to plant yourself like a tree, look them in the eye and say no, you move.
Never step onto the battlefield of ideas unprepared. Before you enter the fray, you need a plan. And there's no better place to get one than right here on Tactics with host Caleb Colquitt. The Situation Room goes live now on News Radio 1440.
Good evening, everybody, on this Wednesday, and welcome to Tactics, where speech isn't violence, tolerance isn't love, and disagreement isn't hate. Thank you for joining us, whether you're watching on Facebook Live, on News Radio 1440, or the Tactics Facebook page, on YouTube, on Twitch, Twitter, Periscope. However you're watching us, we certainly appreciate you being with us on this day. Now, as you all know, we try to do things of slightly a more spiritual nature on Wednesday, and this is going to be no different, because I think that there's a powerful testament being made here about those who adhere to a biblical Christian worldview. And this news just broke recently in business news that Chick-fil-A has more than doubled its profits since the day that it actually started this, the protest against Chick-fil-A started, because you'll remember that the founder and CEO then of Chick-fil-A, he's since passed away, Dan Cathy, that he made statements talking about how he supported a traditional biblical worldview of marriage and the sinfulness of homosexuality. And of course, the left went into full rage mode, talked about protesting Chick-fil-A, trying to run them out of business. Well, it turns out since 2012, when that took place, when that originally took place, Chick-fil-A's annual profits were about $4.6 billion. As of today, it's in excess of $10 billion. So they've more than doubled their profits in that short amount of time, and they have now become the third largest fast food chain in America, which is just astounding. I mean, it is up there with the heavy hitters like McDonald's. And to think that this company started out just in a mall somewhere in Atlanta, it really is astounding how far that they have come. And I think the reason they've been able to grow so quickly, so quickly in such a short amount of time, I really do think it goes back to the fact that they have a biblical worldview. Now, I have never been one of these guys that believes in the prosperity gospel. I'm not somebody that says just because you live the way that Christ told you to, that you're going to have an easy life and you're going to make a lot of money. I don't believe that that's true. In fact, I believe in many cases the exact opposite is true. If you're really living the Christian life, that you are going to face severe persecution, that there's going to be a great deal of hardship. Some of the best Bible characters, some of the people that God loved the most and speaks the most highly of, are the ones that went through the most. And so I'm not saying that, so don't misunderstand what I am trying to talk about here. But I think that applying biblical principles, applying right principles, has had a positive effect on Chick-fil-A's business model. The customer service is always top-notch. It's not necessarily even as much about the food as it is about the way that they treat other people, the way that they're constantly willing to go the extra mile. And that's something that doesn't cost anything. I mean, all companies would be able to improve their products by increasing the cost that's going into them, making a higher quality good or service, whatever it may be. But Chick-fil-A, they have an added bonus that doesn't cost them anything. And that is that they train people and they treat people in such a way that is in accordance with the biblical worldview. And I want you to also keep in mind that it takes an admirable amount of faith to say, you know what, money's not really our primary objective. Obviously, we want to make money, we want to make profit, we want to do well. That's true of any business, it's true of Chick-fil-A. But it's not so important to us that we're willing to open up on Sunday. And really, nobody would look down on them if they were open on Sunday. I don't think Christians would think that they were not Christian enough if they worked on Sunday. I mean, goodness knows, Christians are usually the first ones to the restaurants on Sunday after church. Not saying that's a good thing or a bad thing, just saying we all know that that's something that is true, and we don't think less of the people that work on Sunday. A lot of the people that I know in my church work on Sunday, and they just go to a different worship service whenever they can. They still make it a point to go to worship. But Chick-fil-A believes so strongly in this that they said, you know what, we'll just take the day off. Any money that we've lost, that's fine. That says a lot about where their values are. And that speaks to people. And so this newest bit of revelation reveals three main things to me. And these are the things that I want to leave you with today. First of all, capitalism is an impressive engine for tolerance. Now, I'm not somebody that thinks that tolerance is the highest virtue. I mean, for goodness sake, one of the maxims of my show is that tolerance isn't love, and it's not. I'm not saying tolerance is bad, but I'm just trying to remind people that we're not called to tolerate our neighbors, we're called to love our neighbors. And love is a higher calling than tolerance. The Bible never esteems that Christians be tolerant of people. It's kind of implied in some of our principles, but tolerance is never talked about as a virtue when it comes to biblical understanding. And this is the thing that I want to bring up here, is that there are a lot of people. I'm guessing maybe, well, I don't even really have to guess, because if you're looking at the public opinion polls, you're looking at anywhere from 58 to 59% of Americans, depending on what poll that you're looking at. And there are some that have it lower or greater. I understand that. But just looking at the Pew opinion polls on whether or not gay marriage is something that should be accepted in society, in other words, it's something that we should have legal marriage. There is a significant swath of the American people that don't necessarily see eye to eye with Chick-fil-A's founder, Dan Cathy, not Chick-fil-A, the company, Chick-fil-A's founder. And yet, seemingly an awful lot of those people are willing to frequent his restaurants, because the company wouldn't be doing anywhere near this well if there were not a lot of those people. Some of them probably don't think about it, but a lot of them do, but they think, you know what? I like the sandwich. I like the waffle fries. I like the milkshake, or whatever it is that they're going there for. And you know what? There's a lot of people that do it in reverse. And I've never been a big boycott guy, but there are a lot of people that look at companies that held a very leftist worldview, like Starbucks or Chipotle or Target. And millions of conservative Americans go there every year and spend their hard-earned money, not because they agree with the person politically or they agree with the company's stance politically, but because they like the product, they offer a good product, and so they just kind of put politics on the side while they go and shop and purchase whatever it is that they want that that company provides for them. See, I've always found it really odd that the people that preach tolerance as though it's something to be admired, something that is virtuous, that it is the highest calling of mankind kind to merely tolerate being around one another, that they're seemingly all against capitalism, which is the greatest engine of tolerance in human history. This is even true on an international scale. Part of the reason that nations stay out of war as long as they do is because they know that they would be interrupting trade. Peace through strength is a great strategy, but peace through trade, peace through free markets, typically tends to work better. Because you're not going to attack somebody if you know that your nation's economic prosperity relies upon it. Sometimes you do. I'm not saying that it's a perfect system. But you have to admit that when you're engaged in more of a free exchange of goods and a free exchange of ideas, you tend to be more peaceful with those around you because you don't want to injure yourself or hurt your bottom line. And the same thing happens on a micro scale with capitalism. I mean, maybe I could go to a company that tried to align with all of my political beliefs, and that would not necessarily be a bad thing. But I have to accept the fact that if I am alienating any companies that do not share my political beliefs, well, then I am, by my own design, I am culling out competition, which means I'm going to be stuck with a smaller selection of goods and a smaller selection of prices. And so capitalism rewards tolerance. If you're willing to just go where the lowest price is, or you're willing to go to whatever product it is that you want, that you desire, if it's an exclusive kind of product, well then you are motivated by profit motive to tolerate the people, whether they agree with you or not. And so this kind of economic freedom actually does foster having those conversations, getting to know people that don't necessarily agree with you, and trying to find common ground. Capitalism is a great engine for the fostering of tolerance. The second thing that it shows me is that God does still protect people. From the left in the media, I know of very few companies in the past few years that have come under attack more times or more ferociously than Chick-fil-A. They're all over these guys all the time, and it's across platforms. It's on MSNBC, it's on CNN, but you know what? It's also on Fox. And because of this, because of their stance, because their founder's stance on homosexuality was unpopular, never mind the fact that they actually hire gay people and serve gay people, and they're an equal opportunity company, and you just ignore all of that because the founder, the guy that used to run the company, had those stances, Chick-fil-A has been a constant source of attack. And when it's tried to move into new markets, there has been a very vocal pushback. There are people that show up at their restaurants and protest and fall down and act like they're dead, which doesn't make any sense because last time I checked, chicken doesn't kill gay people. I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure it doesn't. But anyway, they'll go and they'll do that, and yet they continue to thrive. And I'm not saying that, again, I'm not going to the prosperity gospel. I don't think that if you just do things the biblical way that God's going to solve all of your problems, but I do think that what this says, and Chick-fil-A providing jobs and amenities and supplies to people that are in trouble, because this is another thing that's common with Chick-fil-A. If there is some kind of natural disaster or something, Chick-fil-A will very often open up, give away free food. This is just something that kind of goes part and parcel with Chick-fil-A. Do this kind of stuff all the time. That I think that when you do that, God does offer a little divine intervention. Or at least he may choose to. And it appears as though, based on how well Chick-fil-A is doing, that he's certainly done that. And that brings me to my third point, which is, and I think that this is probably going side by side with the divine intervention, because I think that this is probably a easily explained worldly rationale for why they're doing as well as they are. People still recognize good. They do. People still recognize good. Yes, people make mistakes. They don't always get it right the first time, but as a general rule, especially if it's done over and over again, people are going to see good and see evil and contrast the two and be able to make the right decision. I mean, you look, even without any teaching, even without any theological background, when you look in the Bible narratives at Roman soldiers that were crucifying Christ, and people that had no exposure to God, all they had to do was witness maybe one episode and say, there's something right there. There's something good going on there, and I want to know more. God put that sense in us for a reason. And the truth is, there are an awful lot of people that know Chick-fil-A stance, completely disagree with it, but they see that what Chick-fil-A is doing is not hurting anyone. They're not calling for gays to be imprisoned or killed. They're not saying that they hate them. All they're saying is, we have a biblical worldview on marriage. And again, that's not even the company. That's just the founder. And because they don't go out of their way to hurt anybody, because they don't operate that way, people look at that, and they look at the people claiming that they're, I don't know, Nazis or whatever, because these people are terrified that I remember reading one headline that was the chicken sandwiches are poisoned with homophobia or something like that. I mean, they just look at the utter ridiculousness. And they say, nah, I'm going to go with the guys making the chicken sandwich and saying my pleasure. That's the side I'd rather be on. Has that lost them some money? I'm sure it has. I'm sure there are some people that would have eaten at Chick-fil-A that don't because they know about the statement from Dan Cathy in 2012. But what this says to me is there is an awful lot of people that either brush it aside and say, I don't care, I'm just going where I can get a good lunch for a good price, or that they're saying, look, they're not doing anything wrong. Yeah, I disagree with them, maybe. But the thing is, they're not hurting anybody. They can have their own private stance. There is a very loud, angry minority that is trying to drive Chick-fil-A out of business. The vast majority of the American people don't care. They don't. They're going to go where they can get good service and good food. And that's really the only thing that they're worried about. It's an odd thing that happens is that sometimes, oddly enough, looking out for one's own self-interest does lead you a little bit closer to the truth. I mean, sometimes it's not that way. Sometimes it's the exact opposite. But this is a case where it seems as though that is what's going on. And I think that they put such a good face forward by trying to stay out of the politics as much as possible, at least in an official capacity. I think that's really a model for the way that we ought to operate. But since we're talking about food, and I'm about to wrap up this episode here, you may not know, today is actually National Burger Day. And as you know, even though Chick-fil-A does make a fine chicken sandwich, I'm much more of a beef connoisseur. And if I get my choice between chicken and beef, I'm always going to go with beef. So I thought it would be really fun to go through what I think are the best burgers. And I thought about it as like, you know, there's several different ways that it makes it unfair to compare them. Like, you can't really compare a sit-down restaurant burger to a fast food burger. And so what I've done is I did my top five in three different categories. Best fast food burger, best chain burger, and best local burger. So we're going to end off with the best burgers here in the Montgomery area. So disclaimer real quick, these are my opinions. You don't have to agree with them. In fact, by all means, disagree, comment in the comment section on YouTube or on Facebook. Tell me what your top five are. I'm not saying that these are definitive or it's in any way objective. These are just the burgers I personally like the most. And so I'm going to give you the restaurant, then I'm going to give you the name of the burger that I think is the best. So for best fast food burger, number five, the Jack's Big Bacon. I got to say, I do love the Big Bacon. It's not a huge burger, even though it's called the Big Bacon. But I don't know. It's just, it's a fairly thick patty. It's a good seasoned meat. The cheese goes really nicely on it. So for my money, Jack's number five best fast food burger. Number four, Sonic with the Supersonic Cheeseburger. So this is the, I can't remember if it's the number two or the number three combo meal. Excellent. Bacon, lettuce, tomato, mustard. And I don't know why, but Sonic just has a phenomenal bun and the toppings just come all together. Decent meat, but I think really it's the toppings that make this burger. And the bacon at Sonic is pretty good for fast food. Number three, the Wendy's Dave Juicy Double. Now, this is actually one that doesn't have bacon on it. I guess you could get them to put bacon on it for extra. But I think this is the only one on my list that doesn't have bacon. So the Wendy's Juicy Double, that is a phenomenal burger, and I highly, highly recommend it. Number two, the Five Guys Burgers and Fries. So if you've eaten there, yes, they're the ones that give you about 8 tons of potatoes into one thing of fries, and you'll have enough fries for about 8 people. Anyway, Five Guys, they have the, when you get the double cheeseburger, then bacon and jalapeno. And the thing I love about Five Guys is you don't really pay extra for toppings. You just order the burger, and then whatever you want on it, they'll put on it. So I love that about Five Guys. Really good burger, in my opinion, the second best burger. I debated whether or not this should even be on the fast food burger because Five Guys is a little more upscale. It's almost not like a fast food, but I thought I can't really put it as sit down. So there you have it. Five Guys has the number two burger. And number one, Whataburger. Specifically, the double Whataburger if you add bacon, cheese, and jalapeno. Now, for those of you that have been watching the program for a while, you know that I have a weird obsession with Whataburger. I absolutely love Whataburger. Go there every time I get a chance. I've even started a campaign to get Whataburger back in Montgomery. And so far, it's had zero success. But that is my number one fast food burger, the double Whataburger with bacon, cheese, and jalapeno. Now, the next category, best chain burger. So there has to be at least a few restaurants, and typically speaking, it's just going to be the best burger at that restaurant. There are probably a couple I could double up on, but you only get one submission per restaurant, so I'm going to go with that. Number five, O'Charley's Bacon Cheddar Burger. Bacon Cheddar Burger is a classic. It's not necessarily a lot of frills. It's not a novelty burger. It's just a good old-fashioned cheeseburger, and the meat is super flavorful in this burger. A lot of good goes along with that. Number four, the Firebirds Durango Burger. The sauce that they use on the Durango, it's got a little spice, a little kick to it. I think the Durango Burger is phenomenal. It actually, even though it's not quite as good, not good enough to make this list, the Beef O'Brady's Amarillo Firecracker Burger, there's kind of a similar flavor going on there. So if you've ever had that one, it's kind of similar to the Firebirds Durango Burger. Number three, the Logan's Fried Cheeseburger. Now, this one is absolutely phenomenal, but it's like, I don't know, 8,000 calories. So I don't eat this one much, but when I do, I thoroughly enjoy it. So what they do is they take essentially a ring of fried cheese. It's a disc of fried cheese about the size of a hockey puck, and they throw it on top of that burger. Now, that is a phenomenal cheeseburger. You do have to let it cool off, though. I cannot emphasize that enough, because it will boil the inside of your mouth if you bite into that cheese a little too early. So just, it's a great burger, very enjoyable. Be careful. That's all I'm saying. Number two, the Longhorn Prime Rib Burger. Now, this one's very much a gourmet burger, and it's topped with shaved prime rib from Longhorn, so you know it's going to be good. Seasoned very well. It's a big burger, so it's a little difficult to eat, but very, very much worth the price of admission, especially if you have the Parmesan garlic fries at Longhorn that goes along with it. Really, really good. And there's a, I believe it's also served with an au jus sauce, kind of like you would a Philly cheesesteak, or not a Philly cheesesteak, a French dip. So really flavorful, really good burger. And then number one, the Irish Bread Pub Guinness Burger. This is one that's actually been taken off the menu. If you order it, they know what you're talking about, but the secret to this burger is they have a peppered mustard that is just out of this world. And so the mustard has little pieces of peppercorn in it, and that really makes it. There's also a Guinness sauce that they use to cook the burger with. It's made with Guinness beer. Of course, it's cooked, so the alcohol is not in it anymore, but man, really, really good burger. That's the number one chain burger. A lot of people don't realize Irish Bread Pub is a chain. There's actually one in Opelika. I've been to one in Atlanta. So it does technically count as a chain burger. There are a few of them. And finally, before we wrap up here today, the best local burger. Number five, Gail's Down the Street Cafe. Standard cheeseburger. You just order whatever you want to on it. Now, Gail's is a local legend. I really enjoy going there whenever I get a chance to. Good friends with one of the, because, you know, he works on the radio with Joe, so Russell Terry. Friendly service, and the burger really does make it. I get lots of different things at Gail's. I go there a lot, but they do have a very respectable burger. Number four, Hamburger King, which is not far from downtown Montgomery. Now, Hamburger King is not fancy. In fact, it's so not fancy that you have to pay with cash, which is something that I did not realize the first time I went there. So just be aware of that. If you order, you do have to pay with cash money. They don't actually have a way to take a debit card. But like a lot of other hole-in-the-wall burger joints, theirs is definitely worth the price of admission, even if you may have to make a special trip to the bank first to be able to go there. And I am a little bit frustrated by the fact that they don't have a fountain drink machine, and they don't really serve anything other than chips. They don't actually have fries, but if we're judging just by the burger, which this list is, they've got one of the best burgers in town. Number three, the Baumhauer's Gooey Burger. So technically, yes, Baumhauer's is a chain, but it's a local chain. There's one in Tuscaloosa, one in Auburn, two in Montgomery. There may be a couple others somewhere else, but if there are, I'm not aware of them. Anyway, Baumhauer's, founded by a former football player at the University of Alabama, really great place, and you know it's good if I, an Auburn guy, am willing to compliment an Alabama football player. But the Gooey Burger has a lot of, I don't even really know how to describe it, because I want to say queso, but it's really not quite as runny as queso. It's a little bit thicker than that, but they have a signature melted cheese that goes on top of the Gooey Burger. And I'm not going to lie, you probably have to take a shower afterward, but that doesn't change the fact that it's definitely worth it. This is a really good burger. Number two, Vicky's Lunch Van. Vicky's is one of the best kept secrets in Montgomery, and it's becoming less secret because of how good it is. It's kind of like Hamburger King, but better. And it's strictly no frills. I mean, it's just, they're a burger joint, and that's pretty much all there is to it. And so there's not a whole lot else to describe. It's just it's a regular burger with bacon, lettuce, tomato. But I mean, oh my gosh, the flavor is just outstanding. And so I cannot recommend Vicky's highly enough. Now, before we go on to the number one local burger, I do want to make a honorable mention here. Wasn't quite good enough to edge out Gail's Down the Street Cafe, in my opinion. But Mama's Sacked Lunch in downtown Montgomery is a really good burger. And I was skeptical of it when I went there because it's really more of a meat and three place. And typically when you go to a meat and three place, nothing wrong with that at all. I love them. But typically their burger leaves a little bit to be desired. They just kind of have a generic burger to satisfy anybody that doesn't necessarily want to get a meat and three. But this is not the case with Mama's Sacked Lunch. That is a really, really good burger. Again, not quite good enough to make the list, but still pretty darn good. And the number one local burger, drumroll. Oh, right, I don't have a producer. All right, the number one burger here in the Montgomery River region area, Joe Mama's with the Joe Daddy. Now, granted, the Joe Daddy has since been taken off the menu, so you have to order it special. You're not going to see it on there, but the Joe Daddy is an amazing burger. They have a seasoned mustard on it that really just makes it. They, instead of having pickle chips, they have sliced up pickle spears. I don't really understand why that makes such a big difference, but it does. Just trust me on this one. You'll know it when you get it. And also there's the ham that is used as the top layer, but right above the burger, but beneath all of the toppings. And I never thought of putting ham on a hamburger, even though it's in the name. But the Joe Daddy did it, and they did it right. And the truth is, any of the burgers at Joe Mama's are absolutely out of this world, but the Joe Daddy is the king of them all. So that's my list. That's all the time that I have. I've got to get out of here. Thanks for your attention. Stay the course, friends.
Tactics is a production of News Radio 1440 and Cumulus Media Montgomery. Any opinions expressed on this program are those of the host and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Cumulus Media. The theme song for Tactics is 6 Foot Town by Big and Rich. Graphics by Jessica Dawson. Broadcast studios provided by Cumulus Media Montgomery. Location studios provided by the Dalreda Church of Christ. Copyright.